The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you back in the saddle again. Tom Fairbanks, wasn't that the Roy Rogers theme or something back in the
I believe Back in the Saddle Again was actually Gene Autry's.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Do you remember what his horse's name was?
I
know you know Roy Rogers' horse's name.
Roy's was Trigger.
Yes. How about Gene Autry?
Don't
tell me I got you.
You did.
Is Champion.
Champion.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Tom Fairbanks, producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. And Tom, before we begin the show, and there's a lot of content, as we always try to cram into 1 hour, there are some people I want to thank. Tom, thank you for kind of helping out while I was gone. But I do want to thank our guest hosts who kind of kept things humming along with the high quality that I expect and our listeners do as well out of this program. So I've been away almost 2 weeks. Ray Allen, my longtime producer-engineer, did a great job hosting, as did Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Jim Kelly, thank you, Jim. Jim hosted actually a couple of times, including yesterday, and then Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. So thank you one and all to all of our friends who support this program. Also, Dylan Smith had a role of TucsonSentinel.com while I was away, and I do appreciate it. Some great pictures from our trip to Oregon, Tom, that are posted on my Facebook page. My lovely wife, Ann, quite the photographer, took some great photos over on the Oregon coast. Everybody had said, Bill, you got to see the Oregon coast. It's better than Big Sur of California. Well, I don't know if it's better, but it's different and it's very dramatic.
I like the rocky cliffs and the big rock formations out in the water. And when there's a storm out on the Pacific somewhere and these rollers are coming in, man, that's spectacular.
So we did the circle over to Cannon Beach, did down to the Tillamook Cheese people, then over to Mount Hood, went up to the lodge at Timberline Lodge, where we were like so close to that 10,000-foot mountain. And, of course, the Northwest has had this high-pressure area, so the visibility was unbelievable. Then circled back over to Hood River along the Columbia River Gorge, crossed over into Washington to Stevenson, Washington, stayed at Skamania Lodge. So we did that full circle and then around back to Portland. So some great pictures up at Facebook on the Buckmaster site. There are no pictures of my flu, which, and luckily, nobody wants to see the way I looked over the last couple of days, I'll tell you. But apparently I'm not alone. The flu came real early this year. So enough gabbing by me, uncharacteristically, because this show is driven by our guests, and our guest has been patiently waiting for me to kind of shut up and turn it over to him. And he is Mr. Paul Cunningham, Democrat Ward Number 2, who's taking a break from his school duties. Paul, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill? Welcome back. I'm glad you've been able to travel with your wife, and it sounds like semi-retirement or quasi-retirement is suiting you well.
Well, yeah, it's. I don't ever like the word retirement. I kind of, when I left Channel 6, which was, of course, a full-time job in 2010, I reinvented myself is kind of the way I look at it, and have now had this, I think, pretty darn successful radio show. So we continue on. What is this deal with the Coyotes? And we're not talking about the ice hockey.
It's actually
the ice
by Arizona Game and Fish. It's not. It's not. It's being run by Game and Fish. Kozachik has done a really good job bringing all the partners together. The Humane Society, the Tucson Police Department have signed off on the plan. And it is basically a deterrent program because we've had these instances where we've had 16, 17 coyotes spotted in one area. And Coyotes can be dangerous. We've had javelina and coyotes in the urban part of Tucson, in Midtown, not necessarily downtown, but Midtown and Town East for a long time. It's nothing new, but this is just a new tactic. And they're going to try this paintball system, which I guess has some proven success in other areas. So we're confident it's going to work, and we're really excited. Well, we're not really excited. I'm just it's kind of a wait and see for me. I just want to see if it does work and what kind of response we get.
So the coyotes would be presumably hit with one of those non-lethal paintballs, and so you might see a coyote with a red rump or a blue a blue spot. I mean, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, Bill, something to that effect. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, when you have basically creatures and desert fauna coming into a neighborhood area, you've got to take whatever measures you can to keep the citizens safe. This is a situation where we think this will minimize the risk to citizens, and I think it's a good program, and that's why I'm in support of it.
All right. That program, do you say, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but you said apparently this has been tried in other communities, what, around the state or in other areas?
Well, yeah, it's actually been tried in other areas, but not coyotes. It's been tried in other areas with different. It's been tried in other areas with different types of critters. In the Midwest and on the East Coast. So Tucson's not new to a program like this, but we think that this is another way to get results.
And, of course, to our residents, please don't leave out food specifically for the coyotes, right?
That was what I wanted to bring that up on the show today. That's a pretty important piece to this, is that we look, it's not the be-all, end-all. I mean, you've got to try everything to keep citizens safe and ensure that all the risks to the public safety are addressed.
Yeah, and our caller just had a very good point here. We have not, in our conversation with you, Paul, talked about what neighborhood, and this is near Grant and Campbell, specifically.
Yeah, this is Midtown Catalina Vista between Catalina Vista, Grant Campbell, just to the south and east of that intersection.
All right, we've got a lot to talk about on our agenda today. What about the Rialto Theater? The developers of the downtown AC Marriott planning on, well, they've unveiled this new $88 million hotel project on Broadway and Fifth Avenue that will incorporate two new Marriott brands as well as the historic Rialto Theater. The theater will not be, I guess, I don't want to say not touched. The buildings kind of come up against the back of the theater, right?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that they're going to have to close this theater for about 2 years. And having to close that theater is one of those situations where you kind of don't want to see that, because the Rialto is kind of a Tucson institution these days. But at the same time, this is a great opportunity for Tucson to expand its downtown hotel space and tourism space portfolio. This is a really good opportunity to see some more development downtown. This puts construction people to work. I like that we're kind of trying to increase our market capacity downtown. Remember, we had the Santa Rita Hotel, and we had the what later on became the Radisson, but was the Hotel Arizona that we're operating down there. So the AC Marriott expanding its rooms is going to fill that void quite rather nicely. So I think that this is a good program. Rio Nuevo is taking the lead on this. The only part that the city's going to have to work with is the permitting process, which because of the CBD and IBD and all the other programs that we have downtown, it should be a situation where we can see the cranes and stuff go up. But it's kind of a, again, it hasn't, that process hasn't really began yet. just the approval for their funding. So they have a mechanism for funding, but they haven't really gone to the full specifics of the bill. They have some concepts, but there's always a lot more to it in projects like that.
Well, this tells me a lot that AC Marriott, with their first project downtown, it was so successful, they obviously feel there's room for expansion. That's good news.
Well, it does. It shows that downtown's working, and we've got to be proud of that. That's kind of given us a kind of shot in the arm in Tucson. Our national reputation has improved because of that. Also, the city's reputation, I think, locally has improved because of that. People 10 years ago, people didn't go downtown, and it's nice to see that we've got something to show for our city and a downtown we can be proud of.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's 12:15. Tucson Councilman Paul Cunningham, Ward 2 Democrat. Paul, stick around. I know you're busy over at school, but we're going to take our break here after I tell our friends about my favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's one of the very best places you can go to order all of your Thanksgiving pies. Steve and the gang there, the bakers, they'll take care of the cherry, pumpkin, of course, very traditional. Some people like some of the more different kind of fruit pies, and Steve can make sure all of that happens.
Mincemeat?
Mincemeat. I think he could take care of it. I know Steve is listening right now, and I'm sure they'll take care of a special order. But you know what's great, Tom, on Thanksgiving? Those rolls. And the dinner rolls that Steve and the team put out there, of course, they're baked breads, a big specialty of what they do anyway when they're doing lunch right now. One of my favorites is that hot turkey that they do up there with that special, what they call a rustic bread, kind of a 12 grain, something like that. It's kind of like the healthy bread.
An old world kind of bread.
Yeah, should we say maybe? But then there's, of course, the dark Bavarian. Well, we could go on and on. But so there you go, Steve. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. On my website, we have a great link to Steve and Mona's Danish Bakery. And not only the Mona's, but there's about two dozen links on buckmastershow.com to the people who support this program. Let's take a break right here. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday during the noon hour. Our guests include Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez, GOP State Senate candidate Marilyn Wiles, and Michael Guymon of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you, hosting in the KVOI studios. And we have Paul Cunningham with us, Ward 2 Democrat, on the live line. Councilman Cunningham, we have two propositions on the ballot that folks have in front of them if they live in the city. Of course, there's Prop 407. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's the one getting the most publicity. There is another proposition that I think folks are don't know much about. What is that one?
So this is a situation where the state government has mandated us to move to even number elections. And we really don't want to do it, but we want to be able to go to court and say that the voters don't want it. We want to be able to say that we're doing our best to comply with the charter changes that the state has required us to put out. So what we did was we put this on the ballot knowing that if and when it fails, we'd be able to go to court and say, look, we asked the voters, and the voters didn't really want us to do this. The way it's set up is that it actually gives me an extra year in office without having to run for it. I got news for you. I don't really want that extra year in office without earning it. If I get reelected, I'll earn it, and I'll earn it the right way. This proposition is merely so that we can have some leverage against the state, because this is them trying to mess with our charter again. And, you know, cities should enjoy some autonomy, and cities should be able to the citizens of a city should be able to decide when they have elections or not.
Well, and putting the city election on the same ballot on the even years as everything else, you're really going to get hurt. I mean, the city elections get hardly any publicity anymore anyway, but then you put them on even years, it's going to get virtually nothing.
Right. A lot of things will be lost in the shuffle. So I'm on the record as being against this proposition. A lot of people have called and said, why are you trying to sneak another year in? The answer is nothing could be further from the truth. So that's kind of what's going on, and I urge people to vote no.
So we have your Parks and Rec Director on the program Friday. He'll be our Friday Focus interview, Mr. Dennis, who will be going over the details for the Parks and Connections Bond, Proposition 407. What are you hearing around town on this?
We've had a pretty good response. Everybody's got a park story. Everybody uses the parks for something. Everybody had a good experience with a family gathering, or their kids play Little League, or they walk their dog, or their dogs have social time, or they play tennis, or they go swimming. That's what our parks are for. Bill, at the end of the day, the government's job is to try to enhance the quality of life. The best way to enhance quality of life for our citizenry is to have quality parks. If we're going to be a quality city, we have a quality parks. And then the other question you have to ask yourself is, what kind of parks do people deserve? And this is kind of where we got hung up. Over the years, there's been different enabling legislation that kind of hampers what you can spend impact fees on. It kind of hampers what you can spend in parks. And all of a sudden, we had some situations where our parks started to get old and we wanted to make capital improvements on them. And because they were replacing something that already existed, you couldn't use impact fees for them. So we had this big impact fee account that we're not allowed to use. And instead of being able to use it for brand new parks, because we couldn't afford to maintain the parks we had, the parks got to a point where they were basically like the roads in the last few years. They were just in bad shape. You go through 30 monsoon cycles, eventually your ground's going to be uneven and your sprinkler system's going to be antiquated, especially when you're upgrading the rest of the water infrastructure around the city and you have a sprinkler system in your parks that's 4 years old. So all these things kind of hampered in, and we started looking at our parks and saying, wow, we probably need to redo the ground, re-level it out so it drains properly. We need to replant and re-sod grass. We need to replace playgrounds. We need to replaster pools. And we weren't allowed to use any impact fees to do that. So the bond, and now we're so far behind, even with the impact fee money, would only make a teeny tiny dent. The bond helps us get all that back in. And it basically says to the citizenry, hey, what kind of parks do you want? Do you want to play on nice grass? Do you want to have it so that the Ramadas aren't falling apart? Do you want to have playground equipment that's rotated out every 5 or 6, 7 years? That's the type of stuff we have. And then there's some maintenance pieces to it. We're going to work with the school district. When I was a kid, you practiced actually at your school during the week and you played your games at the park on the nice grass. I think we should probably go back and look at those practices. I think we should probably go back and look at some of the maintenance things we've done in the past, as well as right now we have less kids in some places playing sports at school and more kids playing in clubs. Now we have more clubs, and a lot of times what you find out is that you'll have 3 or 4 different entities operating one sport, but it's the same 83 kids, and they're going through a different thing. So those are some of the things that go on with parks. I've been very involved in this. We just redid Jesse Owens Park, the tune of $1.5 million, almost $2 million, when you consider what we spent on sprinklers and automating the system. And I got to tell you, the result is unbelievable. The place is just transformed. I go there probably at least once a week, and it's packed every night from 4 to 9. There's just people there. And, you know, there's all those little things that you take for granted at parks. You probably need to redo the bathroom or the toilets every few years. You probably need to refinish the parking lot every few years. And you know, no offense to Mr. Reed and Mr. Ronstadt, who ran our parks, because they did a great job. They built all these wonderful facilities we have in our parks in Tucson. But the bottom line is that we have got to be able to pay to maintain them, and this bond package will catch us up. The best thing about this bond package is that people's property taxes will not go up. We will delay them getting decreased by 2 years, but they'll actually go down lower in 2 to 3 years. So it's a pretty interesting situation. It was a good opportunity, and we felt this was the right time. The timing was right. We have a new parks director named Brent Dennis. The guy's a rock star, and he's done a tremendous job hitting the ground running. He got all that stuff done at Jesse Owens Park.
All right, let's go to the live line at 790-2040. Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bill, and welcome back. You're sounding up to snuff again.
Good.
Paul, a twofold question for you, sir. The salaries that you folks get really don't seem to, they're not quite up to what I think they should be. So are the salaries of the council people here and the mayor, are they commensurate with other cities our size? And B, if a raise was in place, a significant raise, would folks be able to devote, like yourself, devote more time to the city's needs and less going away to another job?
Look, if we got the same amount as, say, Phoenix got, which is, they're 3 times bigger, but they make about 85. Those guys make about 85, 86,000 a year, which is pretty much the going rate around the country for cities with more than 500,000 people, which is where Tucson falls. If I made that much, I wouldn't have a second job.
You guys would be able to accomplish a lot more, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's a $24,000 a year job. I'm doing it all the time. I mean, I'm still putting my 40 hours a week in, Greg. I'm there, even though I'm a teacher. I'll do two things tonight. I'll do this interview today. I'll squeeze in a meeting. I do a meeting at breakfast just about every morning. I mean, I make it work. And over the years, I've gotten better at balancing my time still.
Well, the median at Oracle in Orange Grove is unattended. Maybe, you know, a sign.
Well, okay. I mean, Oracle in Orange Grove, I'm not sure that's within the city limits at this time. But if you want, Greg, you can come out with me. There's a guy on the east side, Mr. Hall, that I go out with from time to time, and I've actually cleaned the mediums myself.
Okay. All right, Greg, thanks. It was a good question and good chatting with Paul Cunningham. Paul, thank you very much. We'll let you get back to your teaching job there at your school. Thank you very much. Paul Cunningham with us on the Buckmaster Show, where it's exactly, hey, I hit it exactly, 12:30. Not right now, it's not exactly. It's 12:30 and change, but it's close. All right, we're halfway through the Buckmaster Show, and coming up next, Domingo de Grazia, the youngest son of the very famous late painter Ted de Grazia. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Okay, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That is such a pretty area of the southwestern United States. It's an only three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities. Lots to do over there, including world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Downtown Silver City is really cool, too. A lot of historic stuff going on there. The Gila National Wilderness and on. We send a lot of our listeners over there. They say, I had no idea. After they come back, they tell me, I had no idea it was such a great place and not that far from Tucson. All right, there is a three-way race in State Representative District 10. That race involves the incumbent Republican Todd Clodfelter, the incumbent Democrat Kirsten Engel, and the newcomer to politics who emerged from the primary, Domingo De Grazia. Domingo, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be here.
As an attorney, you're also a very accomplished musician. With classical Spanish guitar. You have four CDs. You're the youngest son of the very renowned, famous late painter Ted De Grazia. You've got a name that I think is very well known in Tucson. How would you characterize this race now as you come down on the home stretch?
It's definitely a competitive race. The District 10 composition is it's split just about in thirds as far as Democrat, Republican, Independent. So we've got a lot of voters to get out and contact and get our message out. And we've been working really hard for the last 24 months to make this election happen.
And your attorney, you've specialized in child welfare issues, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It used to be CPS. These days it's DCS. But I do not only trial work, courtroom work with kids and families, but also appellate work.
Tell me, was there some catalyst that you decided it's time for you to kind of get involved in politics?
Yeah, after the 2016, seeing the composition of not only the Arizona legislature, but the composition of our political scheme across the U.S., I felt the need to get involved. So I did a lot of consultations and a lot of talking to folks about what I could or where I could best be helpful. And because of my knowledge and skill set with Arizona laws specifically, and a lot of my work with families, and especially families in need, I feel like I'm best suited to be in the Arizona legislature.
What are the issues then that separate you from the Republican, Mr. Clodfelter?
Well, I think it's overall looking out for the interests and the values of Tucson and the LD10 community. Certainly, I come from a background of helping folks that are of more modest incomes, and that usually translates into paying attention to things like public education, building a strong economy, making sure that we have health care, all of the wraparound services that help families and kids grow up to be in a strong and safe environment.
Give our listeners a little bit about your background. We mentioned, you know, you are an attorney, but a little bit more, please.
So I grew up in Tucson, went to public schools. My dad, as you said, was the artist Ted De Grazia. My mom is a former special education teacher. I went to, for my college years, I was actually coming up through aerospace, and I'm a pilot and a helicopter pilot. I moved over to law after getting into some labor classes and collective bargaining, and have been working. I've done just about everything in law as far as types of law, but I've settled in with DCS and foster care. I still maintain my musicianship. I was lucky enough to be hired as a guitarist when I was pretty young, and that has continued through my life. So that's a pretty strong anchor point for me. Still love playing, still love performing, and I love Tucson in the Southwest.
You have certainly then the artistic DNA from your father that has translated not necessarily into the visual arts, but into the to the musical arts.
Yeah, I do paint, but I paint terribly. So,
so there is all a little bit of painting in there, right?
Yeah, all of my artistry comes out in music. And I'm not sure if it's if I have any special talent, but I do have the drive to continue to work on it. And I've been fortunate that I have folks that enjoy what I do.
Would you characterize yourself as a people person? Do you love people?
I do. I do. I like working with folks, and I'm a fixer. I like to make things better, and I like to help out. And just from my life experience, I tend to help the folks that are in the most dire need.
I'm just curious, and I think our listeners would be too. How much do you remember about your dad?
Well, my dad passed when I was 8, so okay. I don't have a lot of memories, and I didn't live with him when I was growing up. So, oddly enough, you know, a lot of my memories of him come from stories that folks will tell me. And a lot of the stories that I'm told, people will come up, you know, 20, 30 years after his passing, and they will tell me something that is so vivid in their minds, left a huge imprint, that even now it is just front and center of their recollection. And that's a great way to learn about what people loved about him and, you know, some of the crazy, fantastical stories they have.
And I kind of have a very soft spot in my heart for the De Grazia Gallery in the Sun. For my 22 years on Channel 6 on Arizona Illustrated, they were one of our primary underwriters. So I got to know the people up at the gallery back in the day very well. And then there was the fire. So what is the update on how the gallery's doing?
So the gallery is doing well. The restoration is getting to completion. Because the chapel was a historic building, there were a lot of permits, a lot of folks from Washington that had to come out. But the Fiesta de Guadalupe is still going on in December. I'll be playing there with my band, as well as the mariachis and Las Posadas. The formal reopening of the chapel, I believe, will be sometime either toward the end of this year or early 2019.
Yeah, that's usually around the December events, around December 10th, usually.
Yeah, it might be December 9th this year. It's one of the Sundays.
Yeah, kind of early into December. Kind of great way to start off the holidays. Getting back to the campaign, what do you want listeners who are perhaps undecided? And there are a lot of people out there that are undecided and haven't filled out a ballot. What message would you like to give them right now?
I think the most important thing is my values and where I come from, and certainly what I want to focus on in legislature is getting a stable funding stream for public education, making sure that we pay attention to DCS. I have some changes I'd like to make there, making sure that we work toward an affordable health care system for all Arizonans, and implementing some common sense gun laws, and getting back to using solar and renewable energies or putting that more forefront so that everyone can partake.
The whole thing with the Department of the
Now it's Department of Child Safety.
So, okay, DCS. I knew they changed it.
They did.
The acronym again. So it's been a mess.
It has been.
Yeah.
In my work, I've been tracking CPS and DCS foster care back to about 1980s in the federal system to kind of figure out how Arizona got to where we are now. As a trial attorney, there are a few changes that we could make in statutes to make the process better. But I think overall, looking for more preventative measures would keep a lot of more kids from harm. If we look at mental health services or substance abuse services, or just, as I said, education and employment, those could all help out substantially. And after 2008, we saw a rapid decline in funding for those type of preventative measures.
All right. Domingo De Grazia, how can people find out more, and where would you like to direct them?
For political information, folks can visit degraziaforarizona.com, degraziaforarizona.com. If you're interested in music, just De Grazia Music, or you can Google just Domingo De Grazia. Lots of videos out there, and you can check out our upcoming performances.
And for the gallery, probably just Google De Grazia Gallery.
Yeah, they're actually degrazia.org.
Degrazia.org. Okay, yeah. O-R-G. All right, Domingo, great having you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thanks for talking with me.
And while you're on your way up to the Gallery in the Sun there on Swan, why not stop right now for lunch at Mona's Danish Bakery? They're conveniently located on the way up to the gallery at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. My favorite bakery in town, they do the Danish Kringle, which screams holidays all over. I mean, why not have a Kringle on Thanksgiving morning before you get ready for the big feast? Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Remember, Steve and the team are ready to take your order right now for your Thanksgiving pies and all of the great breads that they do. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. Wow, the mall is smoking. Hey, weren't you just here for the Festival of Books? You're,
Dave Barry.
The food at this tent is a real work of art. Wait, aren't you?
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Hey, save me some of that tri-tip. That's my priority. Wait, you're?
Chris Edwards.
I saw you at a block party in Buffalo.
John Fina.
Hey, you can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental, your celebration destination. Online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back. So much going on over at Green Things on their 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things now is the home to Zocalo and the Zocalo Village. This is so cool. They have 5 shops. I mean, it's like a Mexican village, Zocalo Village, with all the great products that Zocalo was known for when they were over by at Broadway and Country Club area. Well, they take the whole operation over at Green Things, and they've created this village. They've got all that great merchandise from Latin America and Mexico. In fact, One of the owners of Green Things, Jan, is traveling right now on a plane to Mexico to do more shopping. So they've got some great items. They have the pre-grand opening event that is going to be happening right now through November the 15th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village, then finish your visit in the gallery with a complimentary glass of wine. All of that happening at 3384 East River Road. All right, let's bring in historian Ken Scoville. Ken is one of 24 regular contributors to our program. All of their bios listed on our contributors page at buckmastershow.com. Ken, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine.
We just had a very interesting discussion with Domingo de Grazia, the youngest son of the painter Ted de Grazia. And we were talking about the gallery of the, you know, the gallery of the sun. They had that fire up there. They're restoring it, and it's going to be like good as new. That's a historic landmark, isn't it?
Right. When I was talking just earlier, I looked it up. It's actually what we call an historic district. It's just not one building. It's a whole district. So that's on the National Register as an historic district.
Huh.
But it's not a landmark.
Well, this is what I hope we can kind of clear up during our next 9 or 10 minutes with you. What exactly, you know, is historic landmarks and on and on? Because there are several designations. In fact, we just had two properties designated Tucson Historic Landmarks, the Spanish Colonial Revival Williamson House, and Hirsch's Shoes, the city's first mid-century modern landmark. So, Ken, what's the difference here?
Okay, well, just want to step everybody back in the audience for a minute, because a lot of everybody thinks, well, what's history and what's historic and all those things, and we've had too many bad experiences from having to memorize a bunch of dates for a test. The reason we try and save buildings and landscapes is so we can understand the past in a manner that we can interpret and understand how these things are impacting our life in the present. So studying history has great value to understanding how they're shaping our life today. So that's my one little plug for history. And then the difference between landmarks and National Register listings is, first of all, national listings... And there's several criteria. I'm going to sound a little what I called wonky when we sent you an email, but I just have to. The listing on the National Register deals through the Department of Interior, and they've come up with some guidelines. And again, going back to the idea that history is important, and their sort of summary is the quality of significance in American history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, and culture is present. So there are remarkable features, either from a great artist or an historic event or something like George Washington slept here, those kind of things. So these things say, well, this is something that's historic and it should be recognized. When it's listed on the National Register, it gives it that recognition, gives it that immediate value so people traveling around the country or the world can go to places that are historic. It does not keep it from being demolished. If an owner wants to demolish it, they can go ahead and do this. But it has incentives. Typically, the National Register, especially for residential neighborhoods, gives you a tax break on your property taxes up to 50%. So that's quite an incentive for why people are in historic district neighborhoods today.
Let me ask you... You were saying it won't keep it from being demolished. Is there any kind of designation that would keep a building from being demolished?
Okay, and this is the second part. I just wanted to do. Unfortunately, I've been a teacher and I'm still a teacher, so
all right, go ahead.
Sequential on this.
All right.
Now, if a building is either eligible or has been listed on the National Register, there's a second step where it actually can be designated as a landmark. This idea of landmarking a building really went around other parts of our country before it ended up in Tucson, and thanks to Damian Klinko and the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. But landmarks, there's a whole tremendous amount of landmarks in New York City. And what this does, and back to Tucson now, is it's actually a rezoning process. And now the building or it could be even a group of buildings, is recognized and rezoned with the designation HL, so a historic landmark. So this gives a whole new level of preservation to the structure, buildings, or even landscape to have it stay intact. And there are more certain amount of incentives, but it could still be demolished with probably a high, what am I thinking about, that all the mayor and the city council, a majority vote, a supermajority vote, could approve to tear it down. But obviously, that's a whole other political venture. For the most part, when something receives a landmark designation, it's going to stay.
You know, Tom, our fine engineer, producer, screener today, had a good question for you. Were landmarks originally used as a way to direct people and find your way around a community? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, if you want, if you want to go back farther, and I just think of the Santa Fe Trail. Yeah. All the early pioneers and Native Americans actually did all of this, too. There were certain physical features that became a landmark to allow you to navigate yourself around the country or a place. So this idea of landmark then evolved into more into cities and whether they were actually protected or not. But there was a landmark in any town. Go up here and turn right, go over there and look for that mountain building or building, and there's another landmark. Just to sort of reference again downtown, there used to be a really tall jeweler's clock on Congress Street. It's now in Gente de Agosto Park, but it used to be right in front of Daniel's Jewelry.
Huh.
Jewelries. And then everybody that wanted to meet with somebody downtown when downtown was really crowded, even more than it is today, they said, we'll meet you at the clock.
At the clock.
That was the landmark on Congress Street to meet.
Yeah. Getting back to the registry we were talking about, there's a registry property in Sam Hughes Historic District that is currently being demolished. Is that correct?
Right. Now, what typically happens here, that one of the main justifications for demolition is for economic hardship, that the land underneath is not reaching its highest economic potential. And it doesn't necessarily happen. It can with individual houses, but this property that's being demolished now is a series of apartments that I just sort of got a heads up and I ran over and took some pictures of the other day and then do a little bit more research on. But it used to be some type of stables, group of buildings that were used as stables. And you can see some of the openings where the horse's head would probably go through at times.
Wow.
But it's about an acre, and obviously the owner now wants to tear them down and probably build several single-family homes.
You know, go ahead, Ken.
So given those situations, they're extremely difficult. You could offer other incentives, maybe some where you would build some new buildings on the existing property, trying to save maybe one or two. There's a nice entry arch. Maybe that could be stayed among with maybe the two front buildings. So there you try and make some compromises so it still has some integrity or tells what the original use was, but allows space for new development.
But historic development can be and is an economic development incentive for sure, isn't it, Ken?
Very much. In fact, you know, it depends on how much people want to research this. The city of Tucson, the Historic Preservation Department, shows that, and they've had lots of studies, especially, first of all, residential areas that are National Register landmark, National Register designated, the one to that of them, designation that are on the National Register have seen more stable and increasing values than other similar neighborhoods that did not were not on the National Register. You typically also get tax benefits so that you pay less property taxes, up to about 50% less.
Go ahead. Is 50 years kind of the key there, the milestone of what's...
50 years old, sometimes less than that. So that if something's especially significant, you might be able to get it in a little bit earlier.
Well, that's my home now, over 50 years. So,
All of us, both of us talking on the phone, would qualify for the National Register.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I am going to have to wrap it up with you, but
sure.
Your next visit will be in November, and we'll be talking about the Hotel Congress has an anniversary coming up.
Yes, the 100th birthday of the opening of the Congress Hotel, and that'll be fun.
That will be fun. Okay, Ken Scoville, anything you want to promote as far as walking tours? Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that Tucson has a wonderful collection of historic buildings, and the Tucson Historic Preservation and people like me are just wanting to leave these resources so that we can all enjoy now and people in the future can enjoy and get the economic benefits of this too.
All right. Thank you. Ken Scoville, always sure. A pleasure. Ken is our gentleman that we call upon. His official designation on our show is the Buckmaster Show Historian, one of two dozen contributors to our program. That's going to wrap it up for my Welcome Back edition, and I think went very well with Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, and we'll be with you again tomorrow at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. Tucson's soon-to-be all-local talk station. All right, hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Talk with you tomorrow.